Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Ask the doctor, Dr. Matthew Barrett, consultant cardiologist at St. Vincent's Hospital and clinical governance lead for Heart Health Check, is with me in studio today to answer all of your, well, healthy heart questions. Matthew, thanks a million for coming into us.
Thanks for having me, Andrea.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Before we get to the listener queries, Matthew, today, how do we know if we have a healthy heart?
Well, I suppose to start, I suppose, Andrew, you know, when you think of how we've advised people to look after their hearts, it's really changed a lot over the years. So it used to be, if you're having chest pain now, call an ambulance in case it's a heart attack. And then it moved to, oh, if you're noticing every now and again you're getting a little bit of chest tightness or breathlessness, go to your doctor to see if it's maybe it's developing into something that might turn into a heart attack in the future. So kind of getting ahead of the heart attack before it happens. We've kind of moved now altogether towards actually look out for the things that don't cause symptoms before they cause symptoms. And that's things like blood pressure, cholesterol, keeping an eye on your weight, all those kind of things. So really we're trying to advise people it's not really good enough to wait until you've developed a problem. What you really want to do is to take an active interest in things early. And, you know, when we're young, when we're healthy, when we're not feeling symptoms, you know, the last thing we want to do is go see a doctor. But actually, if you get in there early with and diagnose something again, like blood pressure, cholesterol, things you won't necessarily feel.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, that the best time to deal with them is before they've caused a problem. When we think about things like heart atherosclerosis, as we call it, which is a mixture of things, including cholesterol, calcium, plaque that builds up around your heart. It happens to us all. As time goes on and as we get older, it tends to happen to us all. It happens more quickly if you have those things I mentioned.
Yeah. And do we screen our hearts? Like, we don't really have a screening service as such, do we?
So there's no, you know, when you think of things like, say, breast check or cervical check, which are dedicated screening programs for heart disease, we don't have something similar like that in Ireland. But what we do have is we have primary, what we call primary prevention, which is if you go to your GP, get your blood pressure checked, get standard bloods done like cholesterol, etc., you can get a rough idea on whether you need to be worried about it or not. And again, the most important thing, they don't cause symptoms. So, you know, just because you feel fine doesn't mean there isn't something there that might need some attention.
Okay, so it's the cholesterol and the blood pressure.
Those are the commonest things. And, you know, we think of these things as things that affect old people. You can develop blood pressure in your 20s, 30s. So it's not at all uncommon for it to happen. So again, it might just be a one-off check. Usually if you're young, under the age of 40, you get a blood pressure check, that's you covered for about 5 years.
Yeah.
So it could be as quickly even as going into your chemist, getting a blood pressure check. If it's okay, check it again in 5 years. If there's any concerns about it, maybe get it done again in a little while. And if it's still high, well, then go to your GP and see if you need medication.
Okay, some of the listener questions, Matthew, for you this afternoon. Please ask Dr. Barrett, what are the foods to avoid to reduce cholesterol? I'm 74-year-old female and I'm wondering, is peanut butter bad?
Peanut butter, it's high in fat and high in protein. So it's not specifically, in and of itself, not a problem with any food. We always say don't overdo any one particular food stuff. So always a mix of foods is always a good way to be. So we'd advise things like having a mix of fruit and veg, a mix of protein and a mix of whole grains and cereals, things like brown rice, etc. So don't overdo any one thing. Peanut butter in and of itself, it's got a good nutritional profile, but if you eat a lot of it, it might start to cause a problem. Same thing for things like fatty red meats, full fat butters, all those kind of things. A little bit is fine. If you overdo it, take a lot of it, it causes a problem. And again, you know, people often ask me things like fries and things like that we'd often all be used to having. You know, one fry a week, it's not going to end the world. Having it every day, again, overdoing any one particular food stuff is always potentially
going to
cause a problem.
We were just talking about the Sunday roast there a few moments ago.
Keep it on a Sunday. Don't have it every day.
Fair enough. Listener says, I recently was diagnosed with sleep apnea with an AHI of 51. Oh, I've been fitted with a CPAP machine this week, which hopefully will help to resolve the issue. Can any damage be caused to my heart? Or can that be reversed with the CPAP machine?
So I suppose the way, for any of your listeners who aren't aware, sleep apnea is a condition whereby you stop breathing properly at nighttime. What happens then is your oxygen levels go down because it's not getting into your lungs. And what happens as a result is your heart has to kind of try and keep the show on the road with a lower amount of oxygen. So it means it's working really hard at night to keep everything going. You know, in a normal situation, when you go to bed at night, your whole body relaxes, your blood pressure goes down, everything relaxes, and you kind of recharge. With sleep apnea, your body's going all night, so it's like you never got any sleep. So you wake up, you're drowsy, you're groggy, and your heart's been working all night. CPAP, what it does is it forces oxygen into your system, so it'll bring those oxygen levels back up again. So it's a temporary fix. The most important thing with sleep apnea is to see, is there an underlying cause of it? For some people, it's just one of those things that happened. But one of the really common causes of sleep apnea is if you're overweight. So if you've got a bit of a belly, it's very, very difficult for your diaphragm to push against that. So the most important thing would be, if you are carrying a bit of extra weight, to be trying to lose it in addition to using the CPAP. And if you lose enough weight and get active enough and lose enough of that belly, oftentimes it'll reverse completely.
It'll reverse.
The the way it can affect your heart is it can cause your blood pressure to go quite high. And again, very often you'll need blood pressure medications to treat it. But if you were to get rid of the sleep apnea with enough weight loss, again, you could get down on the blood pressure medications.
I didn't realise sleep apnea was reversible like that.
Oh, yeah. And again, it depends on the cause. For some people, it's just one of those things. And if that's the case, it's not reversible. For some people, it can be due to their sinuses or the way their throat is, if it's congested, there's no oxygen getting in. And for some people, if you're carrying a lot of weight, again, it's just your diaphragm working against your tummy. Lose enough weight and very often it'll either improve or be gotten rid of.
Right. 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. This texter, Matthew, was admitted to A&E last month. Doctor wasn't happy with the ECG and they had to go to hospital again. They've checked everything. They put it down to stress. Everything was grand, but said that I had a high heartbeat. I'm wondering what that means, though.
So, I mean, we always think about people who are very athletic as having a very low heart rate. A very high heart rate means that even when you're doing nothing, your heart's kind of working harder than it needs to be. Not necessarily always a heart problem. Sometimes it's just that maybe you're not as active as you should be, not as fit as you should be. Sometimes it can be a hormonal issue. Sometimes it can be to do with your kidneys, liver, etc. In and of itself, a heartbeat on the higher side isn't necessarily a problem unless there's something underlying it causing it. As I say, an abnormal ECG, only about sort of 50-60% of us will have a totally normal ECG. That's 100% perfect. A slight irregularity in the ECG, not necessarily something to worry about in and of itself. When they would have gone to the A&E, they would have checked things like blood tests that should look for markers of heart strain. They would have potentially done other things like x-rays to look for anything in the chest causing it. If they were happy there wasn't anything going on, probably nothing to be worried about. But if you have a resting high heart rate, you know, it might be no harm to see if you can get more active to try and get your heart working more efficiently.
Okay. Listener wondering, can anxiety cause damage to your heart?
Anxiety in and of itself, no. Anxiety and stress and the behaviours that go along with it sometimes. So for example, if you have a very stressful work life that causes a lot of anxiety and stress, maybe you're not getting as much sleep as you should. Maybe your eating patterns aren't as good as they should be. Maybe you're drinking more alcohol than you would otherwise. So it's oftentimes the behaviours that happen around that stress and anxiety that actually cause the heart problems. Anxiety in and of itself, no, but sometimes the way we treat it or the way we deal with it, absolutely.
Yeah. The texter says, my dad had a virus in his heart a couple of years ago and had an irregular heartbeat for a while as a result. It's been good now, it's gone for a couple of years, but we're wondering, is it likely to come back?
Very, very common thing. I'm sure during COVID times, we all got very aware of this condition called COVID myocarditis, and that's the condition your texter is referring to. Myocarditis meaning inflammation of the heart muscle due to a virus. It is really common. So when we do pathology studies, about 20 to 30% of people will have had some evidence of myocarditis in their lives. Most of us, it comes and it goes and it doesn't cause us any problems. There's not necessarily any need to be worried in the future. If they get another episode of myocarditis, which again, the same kind of thing, they might get an irregular heartbeat for a while. Usually it all settles down again. I wouldn't in and of itself be worried about it. I remember myself when I had COVID during the good old COVID times, I got a very fast irregular heartbeat from time to time. I actually got a little monitoring device because anytime I was cycling, my heart would start to go crazy. I'd have to stop, do an ECG on myself to make sure everything was okay. So very, very common when you have active inflammation to feel a funny heartbeat. After it's settled down, it's very unlikely to cause any problems. So I wouldn't be worried about it.
Okay. This texter, Matthew, says, I eat quite healthy and I'm a healthy weight and I exercise a bit as well, but my cholesterol has come back as high in recent blood tests. I'm wondering what could be causing this. Can I fix it? Because I'm already on a pretty good diet.
One thing I suppose, a point I'd like to get across to people is to get interested in not just the cholesterol number, but also the breakdown. So we hear high cholesterol, we think of your total cholesterol number, but that's actually made up of about four or five different types of cholesterol. Some are good and some are bad. If it's the good cholesterol that is high or relatively high, we don't get too worried about it. So even if your bad cholesterol is a little on the higher side, if your good cholesterol is also high, I wouldn't be so concerned. So your bad cholesterol is your LDL cholesterol. Your good cholesterol is your HDL cholesterol. If they're both high, I wouldn't be as concerned. Say it's not nothing to do that with your fault. Whereas if it's just the LDL that is high and the HDL being normal or low, well then, if you're already doing everything right, it's just the way your genetics are wired. So very often there's very little you can do about it. And it's just potentially in the family. And when we think about people who have a family history of heart disease, very often it's actually that of a family history of a high LDL cholesterol, a genetically high cholesterol, and that's what causes the heart disease.
Interesting to know that. Yeah,
and very little you can do about it. So again, anybody who's worried about their cholesterol and they hear they have a high cholesterol, really important to look at the breakdown. And your GP will usually have the summary of the different types of cholesterol and they'll try and give you an idea as to whether it's just the bad cholesterol or whether some of the other cholesterols, which we don't worry about as much, may be actually pushing the total number up.
It's worth knowing that for sure. For the moment, Matthew, we'll have to get you back again because there's loads more listener questions. People are very concerned about their heart. Dr. Matthew Barrett, consultant cardiologist at St. Vincent's Hospital and clinical governance lead for Heart Health Check. Thanks a million, Matthew, for joining us on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.